Today we're going to investigate some prophecy. And one of the things that has been most difficult, prophecies, and look at them in the way that the Bible tells us to. See. Now, one of the things that is so important to understand, let's come back here to Acts, the first chapter. We've been here many times. Now, some of these scriptures we have been to in the past, so, you know, like they say, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, there's nothing new in prophecy except that much of the prophecy is not understood in the way that it ought to be understood, and that too many false interpretations and things come along, like, you know, there's a man who's supposed to be in the Church of God and says that he's one of the two witnesses and his wife is the second one, you see. And, of course, that thoroughly agrees with Revelation 11, doesn't it? He's out preaching and she's in the kitchen, right? See? And how many false prophets and how many things have come down through the years. You know, in 1844, they thought the Lord was going to return, so they all got out and stood on rocks and stood on stumps and, you know, praying, "Oh, Lord, take me up." Well, it never happened. So then Miller, I forget what his first name was, then he had to say, "Well, we were just off a year. It'll happen next year," and it didn't happen. And then you have 1918, it didn't happen. 1945, it didn't happen. 1975, it didn't happen. And then a guy came out with a book, you know, 88 Reasons Why Christ is Going to Return in 1988. And that didn't happen. And so he said, "Well, really, there are 89 reasons." And so he wrote another book for the next year, and that didn't happen, see. Then another man said, "Well, the Great Tribulation is going to begin in 1993, and then that will be the beginning of the last 7 years. So at 2001, Christ is going to return." See? And then the fellow who proclaimed that he was the two witnesses, well, he's already gone 2.5 years into 3.5 years, and it hasn't worked out like he said. But the problem is, there is always someone to believe the excuse. See? Rather than believe God. So that's why we are always limited, regardless of how much knowledge we may have or think we have, we're always limited to understanding prophecy because God the Father is the one who's in control of finishing it all, see? And we're going to emphasize all a little bit more than we did the last time. Verse 6, Acts the first chapter. "So then when they were assembled together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?' Well, what did Jesus tell them? Well, when the kingdom is here, you're each going to be sitting on a throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You know, they were anxious to do that, anxious to be a part of it. And Jesus said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority." See, so God the Father is the one who's going to make the final decision. And as we have seen, God always makes allowance for repentance. So the timetable that God is going to work out will take place according to how he determines. It will also fit everything we know concerning the Sabbath and the Passover and the holy days and the way that it is laid out and structured by that. So there isn't going to be anything that will be missing. There will be nothing that will be lacking, except perhaps our understanding of it. Now let's come to Matthew 24 because we have been here many times, so let's go there again. Matthew 24. Just like we have seen, let's come down here to verse 12. "And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall grow cold." Well, this happens in cycles. And there are times, would you say that during World War II, the love of many grew cold and involved in war and killing? And yes, indeed. Are we in a time where lawlessness is multiplying? Yes. a lot of troubles today. But you see, there are other things that have to go with it. This is part of it. And as I've mentioned before, a lot of it is like one of these thousand-word puzzles, where most of the pieces look alike. And it takes a long time to put it together. Well, we have to understand the Word of God bit here, a bit there, precept here, precept there, line upon line, and so forth. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, that one shall be saved. Now, there are two ends, are there not? If you endure faithful to the end and die, were you faithful to the end? Yes. Didn't Paul say, you know, the time of my death is at hand? I've run the race, I've finished the course, and now there is laid up for me a crown of life, which God will give to me and all those who love him. Okay? So if you endure to the end and you're put in the grave, you'll be saved by the resurrection. Okay? Now, if you are alive at that time and you endure to the end, what does 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, tell us? We'll be raised and caught up in the air with all of those who've been raised, right? So either way. Now, verse 14. You've heard this many times through the years. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. Now let's examine this a little bit here. Proclaimed in all the world. So we're going to focus on all, so we can get a perspective that this is bigger than we have ever understood. For a witness to all nations. Now how great does that witness tell us? It doesn't say. But we're going to see at the end time, it involves, just like Jesus said, all nations. So this means that we have to have, and of course, that's why the end time is filled with things like worldwide and global and United Nations and World Trade Organizations and, as I covered recently, World Banks and all of that. Because there will be a world bank. That's the only way you can have a system that will apply to all men. Okay? Now, hold your... No, let's go back to Jeremiah 25. See. A lot of the prophecies that have been given were given to the prophets, but they never did everything that God said. So what does this mean? This means that what is going to happen in these prophecies is left for others to prophesy through preaching the gospel until the end comes. All right? Jeremiah 25. Let's pick it up here in verse 26. It lists all the kings that they were to go to. Now, in the end time, those descendants of those nations are still on earth. But notice what this says. I want you to notice how thorough that this prophecy actually is. Verse 26, all the kings of the north, far and near, one with the other. See? I want you to circle the all as you go through, because that's what I want to emphasize here. Okay? All the kingdoms of the world, which are on the face of the earth. Now that's very inclusive, isn't it? All. And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. That's the cup of the wine that God said they would drink. Therefore you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink and be drunk, vomit and fall, rise no more because of the sword I will send among you. Well, now, Jeremiah never got to any of these nations. So this is a prophecy that has to be completed today. Now, we'll talk about all this area, the kings of the north, far and near, We're going to talk about the kings of the East, because the whole thing concerning prophecy is this. The word all. All nations, all kingdoms. Now, you cannot get any more inclusive than this, that which are on the face of the earth. Now, how could that be done unless it has to refer to the end of the age, when we have all of the electronic means of doing so, the printing means of doing so? We'll see another scripture here in just a minute in Mark 13. So verse 27, therefore you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink and vomit and fall, and rise no more because of the sword I will send among you. And it shall come to pass, if they refuse to take the cup at your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, you shall certainly drink. Now, how's God going to accomplish this? All right, we'll look at it here in just a minute. For lo, I will bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and what's Jerusalem doing today? What does it say there in Zechariah 12? Though all the nations of the earth be gathered in it, it's going to be a stone of stumbling and terrible consequences if you fiddle with Jerusalem. Now, guess what happened recently to the caves and tunnels in Iran where they had all the rockets to send off to destroy Jerusalem and Israel? They unfortunately had several explosions, and now nothing is able to work. And they can't figure out how that's done. I'll read an article on that later. If not here, then I'll read it on when I get down south. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and shall you escape, or shall you go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all. Well, there it is. The inhabitants of the earth. So these prophecies are big time worldwide prophecies, says the Lord of hosts. And prophesy against them all the words and say to them, the Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar over his dwelling place. That's Jerusalem. Is that not close where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be? Yes, indeed. He shall shout like those who tread out the grapes against all the people of the earth. Now, let's go back and count it. All the people, all the inhabitants. Okay, let's go back up here. All the nations, all the kingdoms, all the kings. Now, when God says something, does he mean it? All right. A noise shall come from the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. There it is again. And he will give those who are wicked to the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Because evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind will be stirred up from the furthest corners of the earth, and the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth, and they shall not be mourned, nor gathered, nor burned. They shall be as dung on the ground. Now, let's come back here to Matthew 24 again. Let's read something, okay? Because this has to tie in with the words of Jesus Christ. All right, Matthew 24. Now, when the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, that's when the tribulation begins. But notice what Jesus said concerning the tribulation, verse 21. Then shall there be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. Now, that sounds like it's the same thing that Jeremiah 25 is about, right? Okay. And if those days were not limited, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be limited. How did he limit them? by prophesying that they would be 3.5 years long. Now, the King James says, cut short. And every minister who is ignorant says, well, you better be ready because God may cut it short at any time. Doesn't mean that. The Greek means limited, see? And Franklin Graham. Every Christmas time he gets on Fox News, that means he's accepted by the Catholics because you don't get there unless they already control you, and talks about all the toys and gifts that he gives to children. Now, it's good that he gives the gifts and it's nice and all that sort of thing. But he always says this, the Lord may return tonight, the commentator says. Well, what if he doesn't? Okay. What he's talking about is this. The Lord may return tonight, and the rapture will take place. That's what he's talking about. Showing that he knows nothing about the Bible. Okay? Now, let's add a few more things here to it. Let's come to Mark 13, see something else, and this is going to be done. Just like everything. See, now, let's approach it this way. What are we told concerning the Word of God? It's true. What are we told concerning God? He is true. What are we told concerning the things that are going to happen? They will happen. All right? Mark 13 and verse 10. This is parallel with Matthew 24 and verse 14. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. There it is again. All. Look at all of the alls, if I could put it that way, we're looking at. See? Now today, we have the means to publish it, don't we? And there's one company in China that the Bible Association and other churches are doing. They are publishing 800,000 Bibles a year in many different languages, and likewise in India. And it's going to where? All nations. Now, when I was down in Pasadena, Arcadia, Monrovia, Albert Kataga just got a brand new 23-inch screen or 24-inch screen iMac computer where everything is contained in the screen. So it sits on this little pedestal, and it's got all kinds of memory and everything, and the screen is fantastic. And the keyboard is remote, and it's just a little slim line. It looks like a piece of metal kind of bent over and put keys on it. Well, he got a new program, and he showed me a Bible program that is absolutely stunning. I forget the name of it, but I was, absolutely enthralled with what it could do. Now, just like the word all that we're doing here, you could use that program and you could find every place in the Bible where it said all. Just like that. If you want to look it up in Greek, you can get it. Or Hebrew, you can get it. He had 15 other versions on there. He also put on the Faithful Version. And you can compare the difference between versions. And for example, there's a special part which says, okay, Faithful Version, King James Version, show the difference in the translation. So it brings up the King James Version in one column, and then it shows the Faithful Version, and everything that is different is underlined in blue. I mean, just at the tip of your finger, you can get it in virtually any language you want. So when it says it's going to be published among all nations, how's it published? Well, in books, Blackberries, iPhones, computers, and all of these things are put together in such a way that it is absolutely mind-boggling. Now, what does this tell us? When we think of just this one thing, that every prophecy that God has given concerning the end time is going to be fulfilled to the nth degree. when he says, all nations, all people, all flesh, it means that. And also, it will show us some other things. Now, let's come back here where we were a couple of weeks ago, and let's continue with all. Let's come to Revelation 13. Then we will see how God is going to force all the nations to drink of that cup, and that cup will be the world banking system and a world government to follow. But there are a lot of other things that have to take place, which I'll just say right here, when we're done, you will see is going to take much more time to accomplish. So the return of the Lord is not within the next 5 or 10 years. Okay? And a lot of people who were looking to go to a place of safety will. Although it will not be spelled Petra, it will be spelled grave. See? Because if you're in the grave, are you not in a place of safety? Yes, indeed. All right. Revelation 13. All right. Let's pick it up here concerning the beast that was and is and had the wound and recovered. Verse 4. And they worship the dragon. And that's what all religions are. They worship Satan, even though they use the name of Jesus. See? That's why God said in Exodus 31, that Sabbath keeping is a sign between me and you. That also applies to the church. Though you profess Jesus and you get into the in-between land, like I talked about when I was talking about Christmas, you have truth over here and you have lies over here, and in the process of time and osmosis of interpretation and traditions of men, you end up where lies were. They are true lies, and you believe them to be true, and the truth then becomes lies, and you reject it. So that's what happened. That's why God has the separation point. See, and it's not something that is ethereal. It is something that is very practical and something that is very basic and goes right back to creation, does it not? Yes, indeed, Sabbath keeping. All right. So they worship the dragon who gave his authority to the beast. And as we covered, yes, Satan said that he had the authority to give all nations to Christ if he'd worship him. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? We have yet to see a governmental entity that way or an individual that way, don't we? A lot of people said, well, when Obama was elected, oh, he's the beast. Nonsense. He's falling apart so hilariously fast that, you know, his favorable ratings are dropping 7 points a week. He's not the beast. He speaks lots of lies, all that, but he's not the beast. Who has the power to make war against him? And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months. What does this tell us? Nothing is done unless God causes it to be done. And it's not going to be done until the time that it is going to be done. Okay? 42 months. Now, the difference between 42 months and 1,260 days is the difference between righteousness, where the two witnesses witnessed 1,260 days. It is not the same as 42 months. 42 months is the reign of evil. And that coincides there in chapter 11, where the court is given over to the Gentiles for 42 months. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints. Now, there have been martyrdoms and persecutions, but not on a worldwide scale. We're going to see this will be worldwide. And to overcome them, and he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Now, question. Does any one governmental agency or person have that power over the nations or persecuting the saints? Not yet. So what's to come? And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. There's that word again. All? All? See what we're looking at with these? See, now another thing to remember is that 2012 is when everyone's going to get excited because of the ancient Mayan calendar and everything is supposed to end in 2012. And I was talking to Gil, who does translating from English into Spanish for us, a lot of those in Mexico really are clinging to the 2012 scenario because they said, well, the Mayans quit counting for the year that ends in 2012. And I said, well, just tell them. Jesus hasn't quit counting. Hey? So I've got to give some sermons on that. Okay? So all who dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Now, every once in a while, you see this verse come in. If anyone has ears, let him hear. In other words, if we're really yielding to God, we will hear the message of God, whether in written form or spoken form, okay? And as Jesus said one time, let it sink deep into your ears, okay? All right, verse 10. If anyone gathers into captivity, he shall go into captivity. If anyone kills with a sword, he must be killed with a sword. Does the sword of the Lord come and kill a lot? Yeah, the word goes out of his mouth and the flesh falls right off their bodies, right? Yes, indeed. Here is the endurance and the faith of the saints. See? Then here's this other beast. Rising up out of the earth, the other one came up out of the waters or the oceans or the sea. This came out of the earth. That's interesting, isn't it? What did Jesus say of the religious leaders? He said, you are from beneath. You are of the earth. I am from above. Okay. That's interesting, isn't it? Another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all. There's a word again. All. The authority of the first beast before him. So it has to be a worldwide system. Well, let me tell you something. The toughest problem in the world to do is to modify the behavior of the Muslims long enough to get them to go and agree in a worldwide religion for 3.5 years to 7 years. That's going to be the hardest thing in the world to do. I haven't arrived there yet. And I'm going to let Michael Heiss give the sermon on what's happening in Europe and Esau and Edom and things like that with the Muslim problem and the lifting of the yoke of Esau off Esau at the end time. What that has, see, because what we're doing with this all, what we need to realize is this. All of the prophecies relating to the end time must all beyond the world stage and the world scene. Now, I'm going to send with this the sermon I did, a year or two ago, and I've given it several times, 14 things to occur in prophecy before the end comes. Okay? And you will see we're still a long ways from those 14 things. All right? And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him, which is what? Over every kindred and nation and language and tongue, right? Yes. Then they make the beast image of the beast. Now, come here to verse 16. He causes all, there again, all, small and great, rich and poor, the free and the bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. We talked about that concerning the coming world currency, didn't we? Yes, again, all. Now, a man wrote me and said, why do you say that everything in the book of Revelation is literal when it's written in symbols or symbolic language? So I answered him and I said this. If you know the rest of the Bible and put it together properly, all that symbolic language will be interpreted and understood by the Bible. Okay? Now, let's see one instance here, just if you read a little further over here to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, okay, verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters that you saw are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. Remember, we've been reading all, okay? Does that not give us a literal interpretation of the symbolic meaning of verse 1, the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters? Does that not also give us a literal interpretation of Revelation 13 and verse 1? I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Okay. Yes. All right. Since we're here in Revelation 17, let's read on. See what else is going to take place. Verse 17. See, because who has the authority over all the prophecies? God the Father. Who carries them out? Jesus Christ and the angels. Verse 17. And God has put it in their hearts to do his will. What do we read of back in Jeremiah 25? That's going to happen, isn't it? Yes. And to act with one accord, give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God have been fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. And that can be none other than Rome. And it is a sovereign 105-acre nation. Right? And every country has an ambassador to the Pope. So all of those things are going to be fulfilled, you see. Now, let's come to Revelation, the first chapter, and as I explained to the man there, right here in Revelation, the first chapter, it tells us what we need to do with the Word of God in examining the prophecies. All right? Jesus made it clear. Now, let's pick it up here in, let's just read it in verse 1, because these things apply to the church. And what are the first prophecies given right after chapter 1? Prophecies of the seven churches. Okay? So this becomes important to understand the structure and the layout and what is said, but we're going to learn more here too. Okay, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, to show his servants the things that are ordained to come to pass shortly. Now, shortly is in the timing of God. And shortly applies beginning with what John was told here, going through all of the chapters, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Now, we'll do a little survey of that in just a little bit. And he made it known, having sent it by his angel to his servant John, who gave witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. But he didn't understand. Just exactly like Daniel. What was Daniel told? Well, the part of Daniel It's told it's sealed to the time of the end. Okay? And at the end, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Okay? Now, we have the other half of the equation of Daniel. So that's why we have the series online, and you can ask more too, the series on Daniel and Revelation and all the charts that go with it, covering all of the days, all the number of the days, and how do you figure them, and where do they fall? Well, if you use the Roman solar calendar like we have today, you'll never know. If you're a Sunday keeper, you will never know. If you're a Sabbath keeper, you'll understand some. If you're a Sabbath keeper and holy day keeper and believe God and are loyal and faithful, then you'll begin to understand step by step as these things unfold. That's how God intended it to be. That's how he can reveal it to his people and the world remain in ignorance. That's how God's brethren can understand the word of God and the other so-called Christian religions of the world can't, though they have the same Bible. See, it takes the Spirit of God plus love and obedience to God to understand the prophecies. It's not just a thing you're going to pick it up and read it and say, oh boy, I really understand that. Look at this, look at this. And it's not going to come at the snap of a finger. Hey, I don't know how many times I have read, studied the book of Revelation in my lifetime. But every time I do, I learn more. But if I just read the book of Revelation, I'd never understand it because you have to have the rest of the Bible, as we'll see here in just a minute. Okay? Blessed is the one who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and who keep the things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, if you would like a really good little study in the book of Revelation, notice what it says. Blessed are those who read, those who hear, and the prophecy, and keeps the things that are written therein. The time is at hand. But that time at hand began with the churches, as it's laid out here in Revelation, we'll see. Okay? But notice, who keeps the things that are written therein? You do this. You write down the Ten Commandments, and you read through the book of Revelation, and you write down every time it refers to one of the Ten Commandments. Talks about God, no other gods? Does it? Yes. Does it talk about false gods? Yes, indeed. All right. Second commandment, no idols. Does it talk about idols? Yes, indeed. Third commandment, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And especially say something that is not correct and put God's name to it. Okay? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Yes, indeed. Okay. All the rest, honor father and mother, no murder, no adultery, you know, no lying, cheating, stealing, and all of that. You find it all in there. And then it ends up in Revelation 22 saying, blessed is the one who keeps the commandments that he may have the right to eat of the tree of life. See? So take that as just a little study, a little outline. That'll help you understand the book of Revelation even more. All right, let's go on. Verse 7, John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Now, the seven churches, we've got online several different series on the churches, the assaults against the churches, the prophecy of the seven churches, and so forth. This is the only place in the entirety of the Bible where God speaks of the church of God in toto. And he does it through the seven churches. To the literal churches that were then, first phase of it, down through history, the second phase, the third phase, at the end. And then when you come to the end time, then as we will see, chapter 4 and 5 show that the things that are going to transpire after that are just like Jesus said where we started, that nothing is going to happen unless the Father causes it to happen, okay? That's why it shows Revelation 4 and 5 before you come to Revelation 6 and the beginning of the tribulation. Make sense? Okay, let's go on. Grace and peace be to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne. Now, if you don't have the sermon, the seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit of God, be sure and write for it or listen to it, download it, whatever. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, whether they're literal kings on the earth today, because just like it says there in Daniel, the fourth chapter, see, you have to put the whole Bible together. That's what I want us to learn with this. You have to put the whole Bible together to understand Revelation. It's not just restricted to one thing. He rules the kings of the earth, as written in Daniel, the fourth chapter, and raises up over a what? The basest of men. Okay? To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, who has made us kings and priests to God and his Father, Revelation 20 and verse 6. To him be glory and the sovereignty into the ages of eternity. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and take a little break.